Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. To my Running for Christ Ministries family and my Blog Talk family, welcome once again to this Saturday service. I am Deaconess Loretta Welk, and we are about to finish the book of Colossians today. Thank you for listening and allowing me to learn as I try to teach you God's will in perfect ways. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless us as we study to show ourselves approved and come together in your name, seeking encouragement to continue to be righteous, asking for your wisdom and understanding as we learn together. Bless those who faithfully tune into this broadcast and allow us to become full of your word so we can tell others about you in a manner that they will want to get to know you as well. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. So when we left off in Colossians, the end of Colossians 3, it says, as we finish chapter 3, it was merely telling us we should, since we have a new life in Christ, how we are supposed to be kingdom people in the home, on the job, and in church. These scriptures clearly breaks down our responsibilities as they are according to our Lord and Savior. As we read in chapter 3, Paul brings to our attention wives to be fitting to the Lord, children to be pleasing to the Lord, and servants fearing the Lord. Everything a Christian learns should lead them to the Lord. Masters, you are to treat your slaves fairly, giving them proper wages for the work they have done. Christian, God hates the gift of employment. Let me rephrase that. Giving them the proper wage for the work they have done. Christians, God hates the gift of the man who gets rich through unfair labor practices. Masters should not think highly of themselves, but should fear. They also have a master in heaven, because God will deal with you according to how you deal with those who work for you. We are supposed to be a reflection of Christ in all we do. Amen. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be the apostle of Christ. Oops, I'm in the wrong chapter. Excuse me. It says, masters, just be just and fair to your slaves. Remember that you also have a master in heaven. Okay, 2 says, devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us, too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I'm here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Here Paul talks about the believer's prayer life. He wants us to care and be conscientious about our work and duties in Christ. Luke 18:1 says to pray and not give up. Christians must not take prayer lightly. We must use this like a defense mechanism to keep us alert, to stay on top of the game. It is a weapon to use against spiritual wickedness. Be thankful you have this approach to present your request to God. Guy King, clergyman of the church in England, sums it up best. He says, his love wants the best for us. His wisdom knows the best for us, and his power gets the best for us. Mysterious plan. In both Ephesians and Colossians, Paul says that God's secret plan has been revealed to him. So God's plan, as it is, both Gentiles and Jews who believe in God's good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body. Both enjoy the promise of the blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. Paul asked that the Colossians to pray for him. that when he speaks, the words be given to him so he could make known the mysteries of the gospel. This reminds us, even today, we must pray for our pastors and our other servants of the Lord. Here, Paul doesn't mention to pray for his release, only that God opens doors so he can preach the gospel. This is a lesson for us today to wait until God opens doors for us. Then we can enter these doors knowing that he is leading us. But if we open doors for ourselves, we can't be sure that we're doing things according to God's will. Paul asked specifically for doors to open because saying that the Gentiles could be saved the same as Jews is what got Paul imprisoned. But Paul spoke boldly and clear so that believers will understand and be able to reach each other whom are trying to seek Christ. Verse 5 says, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. Here, Paul says to use wisdom when you come into contact with outsiders. In your everyday behavior, you are being watched. This is where the saying comes from, you never know who's watching you. Take this opportunity to let God's light shine. Let your walk correspond with your talk. Let it be seasoned with salt, for you know you are considered the salt of the earth. You know salt adds flavor, so let your conversation be tasteful so you can respond to everyone accordingly. Verses 7 through 9 says, well, let me get this name right now. Aristarchus, who is in prison with me, sends his greetings, and so does Mark, Barnabas' cousin. As you were instructed before, make Mark welcome when he comes your way. Justice, Jesus, the one we call Justice, also sends his greetings. These are the only Jewish believers among my co-workers that are working with me here for the kingdom of God, and what a comfort they have been. So this is where Paul begins his final instructions and greetings. Tychicus, which is one of Paul's personal representatives, Paul considered him a much-loved brother and faithful assistant. He accompanied Paul to Jerusalem with a collection for the church. Paul chose Tychicus to carry this letter from Rome to Colossae. Paul used this brother in Christ along with Onesimus to tell the Colossians what is going on with him and to be encouraged by the face-to-face contact with these other believers. On the other hand, Onesimus was Philemon's runaway slave who was converted to Christianity under Paul's ministry. While passing no judgment on slavery itself, Paul urges Philemon to display or show forgiveness as he worked with Onesimus, to welcome him as a partner so together they can encourage Colossae, because their master-slave relationship no longer existed. They both had been reconciled to Christ as well as to each other. As we are reminded of our identity in Christ, we are supposed to live holy, not to earn God's love, but because God loves us. Aristarchus, okay. Aristarchus comes into the picture in verse 10. Aristarchus, who is in prison with me, sends his greeting, and so does Mark, Barnabas' cousin. As you were instructed before, Mark, welcome Mark These are the only believers among my coworkers. Talks about the comfort that Mark has brought to him. Let's see. Okay. Okay, Aristarchus, these men were in prison with Paul, and most had been converted under Paul's ministry. So maybe he speaks on them in this letter to show he continues to do God's work, even in prison, because he would always let the believers know that he was sent by God. He urges them to welcome Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, if he comes their way. Started out with Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey, but for some reason left in the middle of the trip, and Paul refused to take Mark on another journey. Barnabas and Mark journeyed together to preach the good news. Mark's failure was not final. He is restored to the confidence with Paul. That's why the mention of Mark in the second gospel reminds us that we're all writing a gospel day by day with the lives that we live. And he puts it this way. We each write a gospel, a chapel a day, a chapter a day, by deeds, look and likes, by the things that we say. Our actions betray us, words faithful and true. Say, what is the gospel according to you? So that's taking a look at how, again, you don't know who's watching you. Again, you know, you're supposed to represent the gospel. If you're out there teaching it, you're supposed to be living it. You know, you walk the walk, you know, you talk the talk, you walk the walk. And a lot of us, you know, we don't always do that. But, you know, as you begin to work for the Lord and to be in the Lord, that's what you want to represent. That's how you want to carry yourself. That's how you want to present your gospel to others, by the way you live and lead your life. Amen. It says, Epaphras, as a member of your own fellowship and servant of Christ Jesus, sends you his greeting earnestly for you, asking God to make you strong and perfect, fully confident that you are following the whole will of God. I can assure you that he prays hard for you and also for the believers of Laodicea and Hierapolis. We have another fellow worker from the kingdom of God, Jewish Christian, here, that Paul is kind of co-signing for. And in this section, he has let the people know that they're steady being prayed for, and that they were Jewish, so they were converts under his ministry, and that he had a deep respect for them, for the work that they were doing and what they were trying to do. Amen. It says that Epaphras was a servant, let's see. Okay, Epaphras is a member of your own fellowship, a servant of God, but it also said that he was a bond servant, meaning that a bond servant means a person bound in service without pay, a slave. But he wasn't a slave. He was a slave of Jesus Christ. He has always put forth a laborious effort for Colossae and neighboring cities in his prayers, praying that you stand perfect and complete in the will of God. I am a witness to this in Colossae and the surrounding cities. I said the surrounding cities to keep from having to pronounce the name of them, honestly. But, you know, it's like we have another fellow worker for the kingdom of God. Is that these men has proven to be a comfort to me. These men help him to accomplish the goals that he wants, and to also let you come face to face with the people behind Paul's ministry, since Paul can't be there himself. Amen. This indicates his deep love and concern for these believers. Paul continues to try to do every effort from where he does everything he can from inside this prison, and he's still converting people in the prison, and the converts are growing outside of the prison. It says, then he brings in Luke. He says, Luke, the beloved doctor, sends his greetings, and so does Demas. Please give my greetings to our brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church that meets in her house. It says, here Paul sends greetings from Luke. Now, Luke was a physician who traveled with Paul, who might have ministered him in both physically and spiritually during his time of sickness. Demas, on the other hand, later bailed on Paul. Paul again greets Laodicea with a special greeting, and to Nympha, the church, who held church at her house. Because back then, this was common because there weren't any church buildings. So he still, again, this shows you where women played a significant role, regardless to what people say today, that they played significant roles in building up the church, in getting the word out, and in working for Christ despite the law. Amen. And now we move on to 16 through 18. It says, after you read this letter, pass it on to the church in Laodicea so they can read it too. And you should read the letter I wrote to them. And he says to Archippus, be sure to carry out the ministry the Lord gave you. This is Paul's final instructions and greetings to Colossae, Laodicea, and the surrounding cities. To Archippus, be sure to carry out the ministry the Lord gave you. At this point, Paul takes the pen in his own hands. Next, he writes the final instructions and greeting in his own handwriting. This was like adding an autograph or adding value to an already important letter. Remember my chain. Paul is speaking figuratively about his imprisonment. He has no freedom to visit the Colossian believers himself. Finally, grace be with you, meaning God's unmerited favor and blessing. Paul opens and closes all his letters with the hope that we as believers stand strong in our faith, no matter what the circumstances. The Apostle Paul shows us that no chains can bind the Word of God. There is no richer word than grace, for it carries in it all God's love as seen in the gift for us. Amen. We are supposed to do this. What are we supposed to do with all this information? It's not just to teach, but to encourage one another. Colossians 3:2 say, we walk alongside of other believers and encourage them just as the Holy Spirit does. Paul makes it clear that Christ alone is the source of our spiritual life. We must be connected to the head to consider ourselves the body of Christ. And to sum up Colossians, I'm going to go to the front of the chapter, and it says, Colossians is a book of connections. Writing from prison in Rome, Paul combated false teaching, which was infiltrated by the Colossian church. The problem was synchronism, combining ideas from other philosophies and religions, such as paganism, strains of Judaism, and Greek thought with Christian truth. The resulting hearsay later became known as Gnosticism, emphasizing special knowledge and denying Christ as God and Savior. To combat this devious error, Paul stressed Christ's deity, connection with the Father, his sacrificial death on the cross for sin. Only by being connected with Christ through faith can anyone have eternal life, and only through a continuing connection with him can anyone have the power for living. Christ is God incarnate and the only way to forgiveness and peace with God the Father. Paul also emphasized believing that peace with God and the Father. Paul also emphasized believers' connections with each other as Christ's body on earth. Paul's introduction to Colossians includes a greeting, a role of thanksgiving, and a prayer for spiritual wisdom and strength for these brothers and sisters in Christ. He then moves into a doctrinal discussion of the person and the working of Christ, stating that Christ is the visible image of God, the invisible image of God, the creator, the head of the church, which is his body, and supreme over all who rise from the dead. His death on the cross makes it possible for us to stand in the presence of God. Paul then explains how the world's teachings are totally empty when compared with God's plan, and he challenges the Colossians to reject shallow answers and to live in union with Christ. Paul turns to the practical considerations that the divinity, death, and resurrection Jesus means to all believers, because our eternal destiny is sure. Heaven should fill our thoughts. Sexual immorality and other worldly lust should not be named among us, and truth, love, and peace should mark our lives. Our love for Christ should also translate into love for others, friends, fellow believers, spouses, children, parents, slaves, and masters. We should constantly communicate with God through prayer, and we should take every opportunity to tell others the good news. In Christ, we have everything we need for salvation and for living a Christian life. Amen. Let us pray. We thank you for allowing us to share your word with each other. Because you are supreme in our lives and acknowledge our hearts, Father, we work diligently seeking your approval. May this lesson be a sweet aroma to you as we nurture a vital connection to you and be transformed like Christ. Let us continue to make a lifestyle of personal growth with the ultimate goal of being with you for all eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Deacon Loretta, for the lesson in the book of Colossians. That's the end of it. You know, you talked about us telling others about God so they could be saved. You know, in that book Colossians, it just basically tells us, you know, more about how to live and having wisdom, our everyday behavior, and letting God light shine through us. Good lesson, you know, and you said that we are considered the salt of the earth, and salt is very tasteful and flavorful, and that's how we should be, tasteful in our talk and flavorful, you know, in our speaking, the way we treat one another, and, you know, just act according to God's word. I know Pastor always say, what would people say if he was to go on your job or go to your neighbor and ask people about you, what would they say about you? How are you representing God's word, and how are you representing God in yourself to others. Good lesson. Yeah, and have love for one another. Loving God equals having love for one another. And just, and like you said, people are always, always, always watching us. Always watching
right.
us. So.
Right.
Very good
Amen.
Lesson. And I hope everyone got something out of that. And just go back and read Colossians. Because, you know, the 30 minutes is not a lot of time to really get into it. And if you go and they say read for yourself so that you know for yourself. And but what we heard was very good. And we just, again, thank you. Thank you. We appreciate
You're
you.
You're welcome.
I know it's not easy.
It's not. But you know what? It just gives you pleasure when you make it through it and you get your message across. It's so much pleasure that it's worth the work that you put into it.
It is. Like you said, we're all learning together. All learning
yeah.
together. Something in that book for all of us to learn.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you. Have a good day.
And you do the same.
All right. Hey, get your coffee, your tea, your crumpet. And after this next song selection, we will start our morning worship service. See you on the other side of this song.
Father, I give your name praise and glory and honor. I bless you for being my everything. I thank you right now, God, for being my provision, my leader, my guide, my comforter, my friend, my companion. And today I owe you my praise. I owe you my worship. Hallelujah. I bless you, God, for being the greatest God in the whole world. I will sing to you. Testify that none compares to you, for you are El Shaddai. Oh yeah, you are my everything. Father, I give you the praise and the glory and the honor, for you are my everything. Hallelujah. Father, I bless your holy name this day, and God, I will let the whole world know how great you are. What an awesome provider, what an awesome comforter, what an awesome friend, what an awesome God. I just want to testify a second. You're my life. Lord, you're my strength. You're everything to me. Even when I feel like giving up, you're my joy. So divine. Yes, you are. Surpasses all understanding. When I don't know where I'm going to turn to, Lord, you're my hope in the time of trouble. Even when I don't know where my next meal is coming from, somehow, someway you make a way. You're my life, you're my strength. Lord, you're everything to me. And I gotta testify, you are my joy. life. You step right in on time. You became my hope in the time of trouble. When the gas prices went high, you still made a way. You are my life. You're my strength. All understanding, you calm my mind, just like you calm the sea. You're my hope, you're my dreams, you're my vision. Yeah, 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 yeah. You're my life, you're my strength. You're everything to me. That's why I gotta give your name.
Yes. Yes, life, strength, joy, peace. Lord, you are my everything. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Runner for Christ Ministry Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer. And at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe is vital, and the word of God tells us so, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own brother, Deacon Eric Reed. Good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for allowing me to be here. And also, I'd like to tell Sister Welsh, thank you for her class. And this, our morning reading, scripture reading is Christ is Supreme. It's in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. And it reads as follows. Christ is the invisible, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything, for God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single flaw. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim. Amen. Let's bow our heads shortly for a small prayer. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people in this service. Lord, we ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with the word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in the songs, prayers, and preached word so that all those who are lost will be found. And dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Deacon Eric Reed, for that prayer. We appreciate you.
And thank you to my son, and peace and love to you and everyone else.
All right. Have a great day.
You do the same.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own Shepherd Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Bye. to God who giveth me the victory. Thanks be to my God who giveth me the victory, yeah. Thanks be unto God who giveth me the victory. Thanks be to my God who giveth me the victory, yeah.
Down at the ground like we don't even know, amen, that he is large and in charge and got all of this under control. God need us to stop being sad and crying so much. He know what's happening in Ukraine. He understands that. It's beyond our understanding, and we can't even comprehend how a good God could allow something to happen like that. Amen. But we have to know. We always said God is good, and how often is he good? All the time. That's what we say. But then we look at stuff like that and we say, how could a good God let that happen? God is good all the time. We have to accept, like Job, that there are some things that's far too wonderful for us to know or to even fathom. And God knows we can't. But we got to keep knowing that God is good, and God is good all the time. And guess what? We already got the victory. We ain't got to wait for it. We got it. We need to just start living in it.
Let's go!
We all have a
Amen. I think they call that past tense when you say stuff like I got. Amen. See, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and right now the Father is making all his enemies, amen, his footstool. Amen. That's what's happening right now. The enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ are becoming his footstool, and the Father is pulling that off. That's what the Bible says. So the Bible, and if you read Revelation chapter 4, guess what? The whole church, Old and New Testament, is there around God's throne. Lord, have mercy. That means God has already decreed and declared that we're there. That's why he says we have the victory, because God has already decreed and declared that the church is there. That means nothing between here and there can stop us from getting there. We got victory, y'all.
I got the victory, I got the sweet victory in Jesus. Yes, I do. He is my.
we sure enough got the victory. That was a three-peat. Victory, victory, victory. All right, Pastor. Yes, sir. We got it. We got the victory. And, Pastor, as always, you took us there, and we just thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. We got the victory. Thank you. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you hear will hear is our very own Brother Minister John McFaul, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Minister John McFaul. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
It gets so hard just trying to figure it out, fighting doubt, trying to believe God, trying to watch the words of my mouth and stay on the right. Troubles come and go, even on the mountain high or the valley low. Never let your faith go. Oh, never let your faith go. I've been there before, so confused, don't know which way to go. Stressed out, world so crazy, might as well stay in the house. Fear trying to rise up, got terrorist disguise. They look like us, but we know who we trust. Just when I say that we gon' be alright. We gon' be alright. Tell us, we gon' be alright. Alright. Say we gon' be alright. In these last days, evil times will come, and it's here today. Look at all the hate, senseless crime and murder. Human trafficking, racism, police brutality, bullying, rape, trouble to say, shame, abuse, abuse. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done in the earth. Let your glory rise, let your sun shine, let it burn.
That's right. It's going to be all right. We need to hear that more often. Good morning, Running for Christ family and all our Blog Talk listeners. Thank you for the opportunity to just come before your throne, put our cares and concerns before your people, Father God. We thank you. We thank you that it's going to be all right. And I like the other one that the victory. We need to understand that all this stuff has been done. It's been completed in Jesus' name. Father God, we come before you on this day. Open up our hearts and our minds to you on this day, Father. We ask that you hear the concerns of your people and you respond according to your will for each one of our lives. And so, Father, I thank you. Thank you for waking me up and allowing me to be a part of this day. Because I understand that I really don't have to wake up. There's a lot of people that left the earth yesterday, and it wasn't me. So I'm thankful for that.
Amen. I think we're having some difficulty with John's microphone, Pastor McFall's microphone. Something went out. Maybe it was a dropped call or something like that. But we'll just, you know, wait a few minutes and see if he can get that fixed.
Yeah, you guys back with me?
Yes, okay, there we are.
All right. I don't know where I stopped there, but let me, I just start over. Father God, thank you for this day. I don't know what just happened, but I'm back. Father, I lift up your people, you know, their hearts before your throne and letting you know that all would be okay in Jesus' name. Father, we hear that inflation is rising, gas prices is rising, clothing is rising, but we're going to be all right. You know, we don't have to go as many places that we as we have to go. There's ways that we can cut back. And this may be our time. This may be our time. So, Father, I come before your throne, pouring out the concerns of your people, asking that you can meet our needs, Father. You know what they are. So I thank you in advance for that, Father. Thank you for opportunity, like Running for Christ Ministries, that we can bring our concerns to you. We can do it in our home, but sometimes collectively, it's a good idea to do it with the body of Christ, to let people know that what's on your heart is on my heart. You know, you got kids. I got kids. We got to pray for them. We got brothers and sisters. We got extended family, and we got the body of Christ. So there's things that we should be busy doing, you know, to be lifting us up in prayer, all of us. There's nothing you can do in your life that God don't know about. There's nothing you have done in your life that God don't know about. God sees and knows everything. That's why coming before your throne gives us an opportunity to let it out. We get so busy throughout the day, we don't do any of that, you know. But Saturday morning, you can look forward to coming to the altar of God and sit with your brothers and your sisters in spirit and truth and confess or give a praise report. There's something you can do that you haven't done this week for the Lord, and that's to talk to him. So talk to him. I don't know everything that's going on in everybody's life, but I know one thing. I apologize. I got a I got a slight cold, so bear with me as I get through this, knowing that God wants me to. I woke up this morning being thankful, just glad to be alive. Pray for my family, my friends, and the body of Christ. So, I'm going to get ready to end it. So open your heart to the Lord. Let him answer your prayers. Not your friends, nor your coworkers. So let the Lord answer your prayers. I don't know why my mute button is going off today, but I'm going to still give it a shot no matter what. So again, I thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for Running for Christ Ministries and all that's a part of events in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, hear our prayers. Forgive us for our sins. Help us to grow in you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Power, power, power in prayer. Thank you for praying and making our request known to God, John. We appreciate you and have a good day. Thank you. All right. I am truly enjoying the service, and I hope you are too. With more to come, I want to say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, joy, and the blessing. Amen? Okay, time for the preach word, a message from God, icing on the cake, the best part. Okay? The next voice you will hear following this song selection is Brother Elder Joseph Stevens. Let's prepare to receive Elder Joseph Stevens come in his own way with the word from the Lord. Amen?
Down and pound the sun to have happened in my past. And Bishop Kenneth Mole stood on his feet, and he sang these words, and they came straight from the Lord to me. He said, your life.
Your ladder will be greater than your past. Oh, hallelujah. Our ladder will be greater than our past. Good morning, Pastor Old Sister Sheila. I'm not going to go with that other name that Pastor Old says. I think it's BHG, Running for Christ Ministries Radio Blog Talk Family, and Running for Christ Members. Good morning. Father God, we just thank you for another privilege and opportunity to preach your word. Father God, we continue to pray that we will open our minds and hearts to more of your word. But then, Father God, as we read, study, as we pray, as we hear your word, Father God, we have to become doers of your word and not hearers only. Father God, we pray that the words of my mouth and the edification of my soul will be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength, my hope, and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank God for another opportunity to bring his precious word. But let me tell you, before I get there, I'm sitting at Jefferson and Southfield, looking out at the Detroit River. It's 22 degrees, of course, in the Detroit area. 22 degrees. The real feel in the shade is 7 degrees. There's a wind of 14 miles per hour with wind gusts up to 28. And I'm looking at these men out here in these little bitty fishing boats out there on the water fishing. Oh, praise the Lord. Ain't no way. I don't fish in the summer. Not that I can't. I just don't. But ain't no way in the world I'd be out in that cold water fishing today. But, you know, I said that to bring a little levity and joy before I make my next statement. My heart is heavy today. How many know we can't be in two places at once? So in saying that, I'm lifting up the Anderson, Sanderson, Williams family in prayer today. Derek Anderson, a dear brother in the Lord, a vital part of the Williams family reunion. His funeral is about to start in Chicago, Illinois, at Mount Carmel Bible Church. Derek was married to my wife's cousin, Barbara. Derek's joy, genuine, and kind spirit made us feel more than welcome. And I can say the same thing about another friend of mine, George Tompkins from the car world. His joy and laughter and remembering you and telling to remember everybody's cars that we had back in the day. And he just welcomed everybody. His memorial service will be tomorrow. My heart's heavy, along with two or three other people whose services will be yesterday, today, and or going to be early next week. We're leaving here, church. People are leaving here. But let me go on to say, Derek's joy, genuine, and kind spirit made us feel more than welcome. You would never know Derek was married into the Williams family. He embraced and loved everybody and made sure that the family reunion was a great memory. My heart and prayers go out to Barbara, Sean, Derek Jr., and Danielle. I praise and bless God for precious memories of family, church members, and so many friends that are going on. I would encourage us all to continue to pray for all grieving families as well as each other. My heart's heavy for another reason: Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the pandemic, multiple variants, the corruption, greed, and the manipulation of products, goods, and services that we need. Gasoline prices. It's just greed and evil, or it's just evil and greed. I've heard many blame the current president because of prices and inflation that's going on and shortage of products. But, you know, we've been having that same thing going on since 2020. Yes, it's getting worse. Prices on tires change daily. I went to get prices on a tire the other day, and the guy says he has to call sometimes 3-4 times a day to make sure he doesn't quote somebody a price that just changed on car tires. That's crazy. These things and many others have us questioning God. What's going on, Lord? What's happening? Many are living in doubt and fear. Where are you? Oh, Lord, where are we at this time with these situations going on in our lives? If my people who are called by my name, if my people were called by my name, what should we do? We need to pray. We need to show the love of God. We need to walk in unity. We need to humble and submit ourselves to God. We need prayer, love, and unity on a daily basis. Let me say that again. We need prayer, love, and unity on a daily basis. Things are changing fast. And we must admit, we do not adjust well to change. Change, an unofficial cuss word in the church. Change. We don't like change. We try to avoid change. And some of us as Christians don't even believe in change. And God never stays in the same place doing the same thing the same way all the time. So God is about change. He's about us changing our lives. Sung a song years ago, a change was going to come. People loved that song, danced off that song, played that song. Some people may have even worshiped that song. But long before that song, let me say that again, long before Sam Cooke sung A Change Don't Come, God warned of changes in his word. Change in our daily lives, change in our families, change in our comfort zones, and yes, change in the church. Times misplaced priorities, a lack of love, and or greed doesn't help us adjust well to change. 2 Timothy 3:1-2a says, "You should know this, Timothy." And this is the New Living Translation. "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days," with an S, "there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money." King James says, "covetous, boisterous, proud, blasphemers." My subject today, where is God's love today? Where is God's love today? Today we are living and witnessing people love for themselves and money. They will be boastful and proud only thinking about themselves. Me, myself, and I. Some might venture to say me, myself, and mine. Boasting what they have accomplished and done. Not recognizing who woke them up, who gave them the gifts and skills and talents to even gain what they have. To be this, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful, they will consider nothing sacred. Scoffing, scorn, contempt, mockery at God. They will consider nothing sacred. Oh, but God has the last word and judgment. We know that Paul is teaching Timothy and preparing him for the days ahead. And even then, he was saying last days. And we've been in the last days since Jesus Christ stepped foot back off of this earth. 113 laws, but failed in love. They attempted to trick Jesus one time and asked, what was the most important commandment of Moses? Jesus replied and made it two commandments, Matthew 22:37-40. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. 38, this is the first and greatest commandment. 39, and a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. 40, the entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. New Living Translation. What did it say? The entire law rests on two commandments: to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And you know, some people would give the excuse today, well, there's people walking around here today that don't love themselves, so how are they going to love somebody else? But we cannot use that excuse because we are the church. We were bought with a price. Jesus gave up his life that we might have the right to be called his sons and daughters. Are we suffering today because people only love themselves or do not know what love is? The English language only has one word for love, love. One definition, love. We love everything. And at times, we don't love no one. The New Testament, written in Greek, has four types of love: eros, romantic love, sensual love, and it seeks its own satisfaction and pleasure. Storge, family love, parents, children, siblings, etc. Philia, brotherly love, compassion, care, respect. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You look out for me, I'll look out for you. Agape, God's divine love, unconditional love, sacrificial love. God so loved the world that he gave, he sacrificed Jesus, his only son, for the world, is the love that Jesus taught. Jesus lived, and Jesus died for us. Where's that love? Paul certainly knew, received, and taught the love of Jesus, not only to Timothy, but everywhere he went. Second Timothy 3:3-5 NLT, these verses basically speak for themselves. Verse 3, they will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel, for they will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. The message says, treacherous, ruthless, bloated windbags, addicted to lust, and allergic to God. Oh, my Lord. And verse 5 says, they will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. Message says, they'll make a show of religion, but behind the scenes, they're animals. Church, we're not called to be religious, but we are called to be Christ-like. Let me say that again. Church, we are not called to be religious, but we are called to be Christ-like. Yes, we're living in some troubling times. Back in the day, there was a saying, WWJD, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do today? In this day and time, what would he do? He would still show the love, the compassion, and the concern he showed when he walked this earth. Pastor O, back in the day when that saying was popular, I was a floor superintendent at Sunday school at Mount Zion. I walked into the senior classroom, ages 13 to 17, and this young man was between 13 and 15. Arnell Trotter said he did not see it that way. What didn't he see that way? What would Jesus do? He said, walk with Jesus daily. Oh, my God. And remember, scripture says, and a child shall lead them. Walk Jesus daily. We know things look hopeless. Where is our hope? My hope is in the Word of God. My hope is in the Holy Spirit. My hope is in the church, living, moving in God's Word, God's direction. My hope is to walk with Jesus daily. My hope is in the precious promise of the Holy Spirit. Oh, my. John 14:27, the Jesus had told the disciples that the Father was going to send the Holy Spirit, said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Peace. I give. That's what he said. I give. New Testament 13:25. To bestow, to bring forth, to commit, to deliver up, give, grant, make, have power, put, receive, set, show, are all strong definitions for what God said, was saying when he says, I give. I do not give to you as the world gives. Marvin Sapp had a song, Perfect Peace. I will keep you in perfect peace. This is just part of the song. That's a long song. If any of you all have ever looked at all of the words, I will keep you in perfect peace. Perfect peace. All whose minds stay on me. Remember, the earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof, the world and things dwell therein, all belong to him who has made us. He, God, watches me. So why should I be bound? So why should I be bound when we know God watches over and for us? When God has set you, me, has set us free, free to believe, free to trust, free to pray, free to tell of God's goodness, his love, and his mercy. Oh, hallelujah. God said he is, yes, he is a keeper of my soul. There's another verse that was in that Perfect Peace song. Pastor O and Sister Sheila, Running for Christ Ministries, Blog Talk Radio, yes, oh yes, God is the keeper of our souls. He is the keeper. So why do we fret? Why do we worry? Yes, church, we have lived through 2020, 21, and now in the third month of 2022. God has blessed us to live through all that has happened through 2020, 2021, in the first 3 months, 2 months of 2022. He's blessed us. We are good at asking God for things and our needs. How many of us have asked God for our purpose in this day and these times? How many of us have asked God, what is your plan for me? Should I pause and let you think about that a moment? How many of us have asked God, what is your plan for me? God, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Change. We know things must change. Thing around us is changing. Our pastors must hear God's plan and purpose for the church that they are leading and prayerfully moving forward. Pastors need our prayers now more than ever. Let me say that again. Pastors need our prayers now more than ever. Let me clarify. As pastors hear from God, leadership and members will be held responsible for the plan that the pastor lays out. Let me say again, too, God is not the author of confusion. What would Jesus do? Walk with Jesus daily. Help to free up your pastor's time so they can hear, so they can apply, and so that they can cast the vision plain, clearly, so that we may follow. 2 Timothy Chapter 3, verses 10 to 17 in the Message translation says, keep the message alive. Keep the message alive is the heading. And let me say, today all of our names could be Timothy. Verse 10, you've been a good apprentice to me, a part of my teaching, my manner of life, direction, faith, steadiness, love, and patience. 11, troubles, sufferings along with me in all the grief I had to put up with in Antioch, Iconium, but well know that God rescued me. Verse 12, anyone who wants to live all out in for a lot of trouble. There's no getting around it. Oh, wow. So it's no getting around trouble. So we try to avoid trouble. We try to avoid confusion. We try to avoid anything that's not good and pleasant. But it says here, anyone who wants to live all out for Christ is in for a lot of trouble. There's no getting around it. 13 unscrupulous con men will continue to exploit the faith. They're as deceived as the people they lead astray. As long as they are out there, things can only get worse. But don't let it faze you. Stick with what you learn and believe, sure of the integrity of your teachers. And if you're not sure of the integrity of your teachers, God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 15, why you took in the sacred scriptures with your mother's milk. There's nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. There's nothing like the word of God showing us the way. Say that again. There is nothing like the word of God showing us the way. 16. Every part of scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way, showing us the truth. Isaiah 26:4 in the Message says, depend on God and keep it in the Lord God, you have a sure thing. All these gambling commercials on TV now, people going out losing their life savings, losing their paycheck and everything. If you're looking for a sure thing, it's in God. Don't lose your hope, faith, and trust in the Lord God. You have a sure thing. In God, we have a sure thing. Oh, bless his name. God orders the steps of a good man. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives, because the world can never, ever truly joy comes from God. And 2 Timothy 3:17 says, from in the Message again, says, through the word we are put together and shaped up for the task God has for us. Through the word we are put together and shaped up tasks God has for us. That is powerful. That is a powerful promise of God. Do you know God's task for you? Say that again. Do you know God's task for you? Have I received God's task with peace or with doubt? We cannot walk in faith and fear at the same time. Receive God's task. Receive God's peace. Receive God's love. And walk out your purpose in him. Colossians 3:15, Good News Translation says, the peace that Christ gives is to guide you in the decisions you make. For it is to this peace that God has called you together in the one body, and be thankful. Where is God's love today? One of us. It starts with each one of us. Where is God's love today? It starts with us. My heart's better now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Show the love, concern, and compassion like Derek Anderson did for the Williams family reunion. Show the compassion, concern, and love that George Tompkins showed to the Carr family. Where are we to show it? In the church, in the community, in the world. Go in love. Go in faith. And go in peace. Amen. 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 Back to you, Brother Gerald.
Amen, Cardinal. Lord have mercy. I don't even know really what to say. Like, how does somebody come behind that word? I feel like you took us all through the Bible and yet gave us such a reminder. You know, there's so many things in this world that's going on that's a distraction to us. And one of the biggest things that you said that I don't think I'll ever forget is, you know, that we are addicted to lust and allergic to God. I mean, Lord have mercy. That's not something that just will get you together just by hearing that. I mean, all of the things, like you said, the gambling commercials and, you know, ways to just lose your money and ways to just turn away from God. Everything is just so in our faces. And if we are not girded up in the word, if we are not focused on the purpose that the Lord has for us, that, you know, focused on the things that the Lord has for us to do, then it is easily available for us to just walk in the opposite direction. And, you know, I say we are all of us who have the Holy Spirit are a bunch of little mini Jesuses walking this earth. And it does start with us. It does start with us showing love to one another, showing love to our neighbor, showing love to those who are not in Christ. You know, it's not our job to save anyone, but we have a responsibility to plant the seed or to come through and water the seed or come through and, you know, cultivate a little bit. But at the end of the day, the Lord is obvious. He is in everything. Everything that has breath is to praise the Lord. And so everything is supposed to worship him. It's been created for him. And all of these other things that we see, if we don't pay attention, if we don't focus, and if we don't know what our purpose is, we cannot walk in what it is that the Lord has for us to do. So Lord have mercy. Thank you so much for the word that you brought to us today. I feel like I haven't heard you in decades, but just like you said, that your heart feels a little bit lighter now. So does ours, because you have just brought us an amazing, amazing word. So, Cardinal, my personal Cardinal, we thank you so, so much. And we know that after I do announcements, Pastor's going to bring you back on. So we just thank you for the awesome word that you brought to us today. And good morning, y'all. As I transition into my announcements, if you're hearing my voice, then you should most definitely know what day it is. It is Saturday. Amen. It's second Saturday in the month of May. Just a couple of announcements. Sunday, March 13th, we will hold our in-person worship service. Service begins at 10 a.m. with our praise team leading us in song and worship, and we will hear the preached word by our own Pastor O. I believe he is starting the book of James. So you are more than welcome to join us. As a matter of fact, we're going to be the only church open tomorrow. First, I will not, but I'm just saying we're the only church open tomorrow. So you really should come to Run for Christ Ministries. Amen. 27085 West Auto Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. you're welcome to join us, of course. All we ask is that you wear a mask, and if you don't have one, no worries. We will provide one for you at no cost. If you're not able to be with us in person or you're not comfortable with being in person, that's absolutely no problem. You can also listen to our service on Blog Talk Radio at 1 p.m. by visiting our church website, rfcm.org, and clicking on Recorded Sunday Services. Amen. Also, every Sunday at 4 p.m., our very own Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is on Blog Talk Radio with her show, Bring Back the Family. So please visit our Christian Resources page on our church website, rfcm.org, for more information on calling in or logging in to her show, depending on however you want to do it. Just go to our Christian Resources page at rfcm.org, and you'll get that info there. Bible teacher training class is on the list, but all of us who are teachers, we know that we're not going to be meeting for the next 2 weeks because we all have our assignments to begin presenting our lessons. So I don't know if we're going to reconvene after everybody has gone through their lessons, but we all know what it is that we need to do. So we don't have class this Monday because we have our assignments to be working on. Amen? But Pastor Janice Tate was a teacher and still is a teacher for that anytime we are to come back together. Amen? Amen. So also don't forget every Wednesday at 6 p.m. we do hold our Bible reading class. Pastor O will be substitute teaching for Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks, who has a previous engagement. So he's teaching from the book of Psalms, chapters 106 to 110. The questions are available online at our church website, rfcm.org. Just click on Bible classes. Or if you're in person in church, they will be on the back table on Sunday. Also, don't forget to check the back table for those of you who are in person. Always good stuff back there, free stuff back there, information back there. So don't forget, check it either on your way in or on your way out. Amen. Every Saturday, Bondage Breaker Ministries holds their ladies Bible class from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. For more info and participating on that, just go to rfcm.org. Also, click on our Christian Resources page, and you will have that information available to you. Pastor Janice Tate is the teacher for that. If you would like to pay your tithes and offerings, rfcm.org is the place to go. Click on tithes and offerings. If you would like to give to the preacher that brought us the amazing, amazing word today, Elder Joseph Stevens, please remember to annotate their name when you give your offering, and we will see to it that they receive it. Amen. The Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness and sharing with us and with them. Amen. We want to just make sure to lift up in our very special prayers Mother Irma Miller, Keila Freeman, who is in Oakwood Hospital, as well as Dorothy Gaither, Tyrone Hamilton. Please make sure to pray for all of our mothers on the move, as they are affectionately called at Run for Christ Ministries. Amen. Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Pray for all of the bereaved families everywhere. We know Elder Joe Stevens mentioned several people at the beginning of his sermon that are going to be having homegoing services. So please remember to keep them lifted up in your prayers. Also, all the bereaved families everywhere, our prayers, of course, and our sympathy goes out to our own Deaconess Nita Chambers, her daughter Quinaya, Deaconess Lisa Thornton, and the entire family in their loss of their loved one. I know it's Nita's dad, Quinaya's granddad. I think it's Lisa's uncle, but don't get me twisted on that. I think that's her uncle, but nevertheless, it is her loved one. So we just want to keep them and their entire family lifted up in prayer in their loss. Please continue to pray for our world, our leaders, and especially those in Ukraine and all the people that live in that country that are fleeing for their lives. Like I said, I'm not into politics, not political whatsoever. Don't really know what's going on. All I know is that it's not right. You know, it has to do with money and power and greed and all of the things that turns us away from God, because it's the things that we chase, you know. But none of that matters in this world, because the world and the things in it, as we know, are passing away. So like Pastor always tells us, only what you do for Christ that will last. So anything that you're chasing down here, when you leave, it stays behind. And eventually it's going to be gone. Whether somebody steals it, moths tear it up, or when the earth is just done and over with, it's going to be gone. So we really do need to focus on the things that are important and focusing in on the work that God has us to do. Amen. So, again, I don't know what's really going on, but I know what's going on is not right. So we do need to be praying. Amen. Please continue to pray for our president and all of the leaders of this country, that they be guided and led in the right direction to do the right things. Amen. Please pray for all those who are spiritually lost and confused, and especially those who are unsaved. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Eternal life hinges on your belief in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there is no relationship with the Father without the Son. And there is no receipt of the Holy Spirit, your guide, your counselor, your legal advisor, your friend, your everything that you need from Jesus in the form of his Holy Spirit in you. There is no receipt of the Holy Spirit without Jesus having done what he's done on the cross, what he did on the cross on our behalf. But there's no receipt of the Holy Spirit for you if you don't accept what Jesus did. Amen. So Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, we will receive, or you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, which we know in today's time is your household, your immediate household, people under your roof, Judea, which is your immediate community, the grocery stores, the coffee shops, the, you know, daycares, the people and the places that you visit on a regular basis, Samaria, which is outside of your comfort zone, to people and places where you wouldn't normally associate with or go to. And we learned in our teacher class that when Jesus met the woman at the well, she was a Samaritan woman, and Jews and Samaritans didn't get along. And so because of the teaching that we got and what Janice gave us and how we broke that whole scripture down and that whole teaching down, we see how Samaria is outside of your comfort zone to people and places where you wouldn't normally associate with or go to, because the Jews and the Samaritans hated each other. So when you have the Messiah, who's a Jew, at the well with a Samaritan woman who came in the middle of the day to get some water, that was all by design. Amen. So that teaching was amazing. And now when I read that, it just illuminates something totally different for me, because now there's a full understanding. Amen. So Samaria is outside of your comfort zone to people and places who you wouldn't normally associate with, people who you just wouldn't fool with, and to the ends of the earth. Amen. And these are people and places that you may never go, or people who you would never be around, or maybe places you might not even be able to access. Amen. But that's okay, because they need the word of God as well. And we are so thankful for Blog Talk Radio, the platform that has allowed the word of God to go to people and places where we may physically never ever be able to get to. Amen. So they need the word of God and as well, and it's our job to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ so that no souls are left behind. Matthew 25:41 says that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. Amen. We're not the devil. We're not his angels. We're not angels. Amen. So hell is not for people. But unfortunately, we know that because of people's lack of acceptance of Jesus Christ, they're going to end up in eternal torment. And so we know that this life is short. God is not bound by time, but we are. Amen. Psalm chapter 90, verse 12 says, teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. John chapter 14, verse 3 says that I am going away to prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me where I am. And that I is Jesus. Amen. And we know that the word of the Lord will not ever return to him void, not having done what it was set out to do. So if Jesus say he's going away to prepare a place for you and for me and for us, and he's going to come back and take us to be with him where he is, guess what? We can take that check and cash it at the bank, because it's good. Amen. We can trust the word of the Lord, and we can believe and take comfort in his promises. Amen. Amen. So it's a new month. It's the second week of the month of March. So happy, happy birthday to all of the Blog Talk listeners all over the world who celebrated this past week or who are celebrating today. Saturday, my favorite day of the week. Amen. Just want to give, you know, love and hugs and shout outs to our Run for Christ ministry members who are celebrating this month. So Pastor Jonathan started off this month with the first, celebrating his birthday. Alana celebrated a big birthday, 21, on the 7th. My son Amir celebrated a big birthday. He turned 18, also on the 7th. Daylynn, baby D, D4, the last of the Mackey girls, amen. She celebrated her birthday on March the 8th. James McClendon, our pastor, Sarah Tate McClendon's husband, celebrated on the 10th. Darius Freeman, I know pastor has called him King Darius or King Darius, however it is you're going to say it, but he knows who he is, amen. He's celebrating his birthday on the 17th, and our very awesome Deaconess Dr. June, or personally as I call her, my June June, will be closing out this month with her birthday on the 22nd. Amen. So happy, happy birthday to everybody. We love you. Hugs and kisses and cupcakes and rainbows and confetti to everyone. Amen. Amen. And last but not least is your devotional. So your devotional for today is a prayer to the God who answers when we call. Amen. And this is by Tiffany Theobald. It says, come, let us go up to Bethlehem, where I will build an altar to God, who answered me in the day of my distress and who has been with me wherever I have gone. And this is Genesis chapter 35, verse 3. Life does offer us some guarantees. We can expect there to be heartache, pain, and struggles mixed right in there with all the good things that come our way. We can know that we alone are responsible for how we will react when difficult situations interrupt our happy plans. In the life of Jacob, we see that he had his fair share of trouble. He manipulated and was manipulated. He did things his way and often had to suffer as a result of those actions. Yet, despite all of the problems he struggled with, this verse gives us a look at his heart for God. The verse starts by giving an invitation to the people in his life to come worship with him. Come, let us go up to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God. Jacob's actions teach us that we need to share our faith. We need to bring people to worship God with us. There is a great joy found at the altar of God. We can absolutely find rest, peace, hope, and strength when we worship God down on our knees in prayer. God answered Jacob in his distress. And as a result, he wanted his friends to go to worship God with him, to know the God who cared for him. Another truth from this verse is that when God answers, we need to celebrate. We need to set a visual reminder to remind ourselves we have a God who helps us in our distress and answers our prayers. The altar was a visual reminder, reminding God's people that he was with them wherever they went. While we don't need to build an altar to remember God is with us, some people frame a special Bible verse to hang on their wall. Others journal what great things God is doing in their lives, and still others post about how great God is on social media. God deserves the praise, and we can joyously celebrate with each other in how God moves in people's lives and hearts. As we look at the rest of this verse, we see why Jacob went to Bethel to worship. Bethel was the place where Jacob had built the altar where he first worshiped God. In our verse, Jacob returns to that place to worship God again. He had many things to be thankful for. God answered him when he was in distress, and God has always been with him. Two have many reasons to worship the Lord. God does answer us. He does hear our cries when we are in distress. He does promise to always be with us. He deserves our worship every moment of our busy days. When God answers our prayers, it strengthens our faith. It is so important to remind ourselves of all the ways that God works in our lives and to note all the answers to prayers. The more we see him work in our hearts and lives, the more we eagerly trust him. The more we trust him, the more we shall want to bring others to worship with us. So let's start today to seek him more, to trust him more, to praise him more, and to bring others to worship with us. He is the God who answers and who is always with us. So let's share that with people who are in our lives. Amen. So as we say this prayer together, dear Lord, thank you that you are the God who answers our prayers. Thank you that we can rest in the truth that in our distress, we can turn to you. Thank you for the peace that we have, knowing that you will listen and that you will answer. Thank you for the reminder that you have been with us wherever we go. Help us, Lord, to be a witness of your goodness, your love and your provision. Help us, Lord, to bring people to worship you. And in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. And don't forget to spring forward this weekend. So make sure to change your microwave, your stoves, your clocks next to your bed, and all the other timepieces you have in your house that don't do it automatically, because what you don't want to do, amen, is be, I think it's either too early because you lose an hour or too, anyway, just you want to get where you got to get on time. So make sure to change the clocks. Amen. Amen. Those are your announcements.
This is spring forward time.
Forward. So we're losing the hour. So move the clock forward because you don't want to be an hour early.
Exactly. That works great for me because I always wake up early, you know, 6
See,
o'clock
perfect.
In the morning, 5:30. So for me, this is going to be perfect. But maybe Holy Ghost, not so much.
Seriously, me either, because now it's going to be dark till like 8 o'clock in the morning. Like, come on, Jesus, what is too much?
I've always been an early riser, even though I've hated it, but I've always been an early riser. And so, you know, and Baby Holy Ghost is just the opposite. She's like an Egyptian queen. She likes to sleep 16 hours a day. So,
hello, I am not mad at that. Amen. I know, I've never been no
16
early riser.
Hours a day.
Jesus. Yes, we need our beauty sleep. Amen.
Yeah, so thank you, Crystal. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Absolutely. You're
always bringing that icing.
Icing. Well, you know, Elder Joe, he brought the cake, the icing, and the cherry on top with the sprinkles. I mean, we had it all this morning. I don't even know.
I could hear Pastor Barlow in heaven saying, y'all been challenged. We've been challenged today. That was his favorite thing after a sermon. He would talk about how we've been challenged, and that meant, you know, this week, the rest of your life, you're going to have to face that challenge and win. And we got the victory, so we just jump on in.
That's right.
Thank you, Crystal.
Amen. You're welcome.
Tell me, we say what's up.
I sure will.
Yeah, tell them brothers of yours we said hi.
I will. The brother. Yep, the brother. The
the is not working yet.
No, the herbs are probably never going to work, but that's all right. Jesus got that, so it's all good.
It'll be all right in the end. It'll all work out
in the
end.
It sure will. That's right. That's it. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Amen.
All right, Crystal. Thank you.
Amen. You're welcome.
Amen, bro. Preacher, God bless you. Where is God's love today, you know? And we should be, you know, Jesus said it like this in John 17:4, and I love this verse. He said that he wanted God to restore the glory he had with him before the world was. That's awesome. We'll get to see that. And then he asked him that because he said, I have brought you glory. And that word in that instance, in that context, means I've advertised and displayed you on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And all of us have been given some work to do. And one of those things is to what Jesus said in John 16. See how you got me preaching? Yeah, I'm blaming you. Over
there
in John chapter 16, Jesus said, love ye one another as I have loved you. And that was big with him. He told them that on a number of occasions. And that's important that the world see God's love today. And he said when we show down in the latter verses of 17, when we show that love, then the world knows that we are definite. Jesus is the Christ and that we are associated with him. And so it's important for us to do that. So I want to thank you for that word today.
Bless you. Bless you.
Yeah, we've been challenged.
I have the heart to call in and say, hey, I got to miss 2 months because of funeral. So.
You know.
I sent my daughter, told her to speak for us, the family.
Hey, there you go. That's why it's a bunch of us. We got to reach out and subdue. That's what we do.
Man. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, give us some closing words, and we can get on with the rest of this Saturday. I can start preparing for tomorrow. I'm going to start preaching from the book of James tomorrow. I'm going through the New Testament epistles. You know, that's the new series Jesus gave me. He wanted me to preach through the New Testament series. I guess he got mad because I kept asking, you know, what am I going to preach this week, Jesus? What am I going to preach this week? He said, here's what I want you to do, Mr. Don't Know What You're Going to Preach. Preach the whole New Testament. I thought he was joking. I know. Mm-hmm. He liked to wait till the last minute to give you a sermon, and you're like, you couldn't tell me, like, last month? But anyway.
Well, you know, I guess I remember when I first started preaching, I used to start working on messages 2-3 weeks ahead of time. That's a joke.
That's me. I was talking with Deacon Charles Tate one day and told him that the messages I'm preaching now are messages that God gave me when I was under Pastor Davis and didn't have no opportunity to preach, you know, because, you know, you can get that often to preach.
Well.
And so he kept giving me messages, and so now I've been able to preach up a whole lot of them. But this new thing is preaching through the New Testament causes you to memorize whole chapters and get them done in one sermon, and that's fun.
Yeah, but you know what? But you know what has happened since the time you had those sermons prepared and didn't get a chance to preach them? God has used you in mighty, mighty ways, and you have grown and elevated to a whole nother dimension and level spiritually. So now, even what you had prepared then, you got to tear apart and do some more with it now.
Right, he's brought them all together.
You see it from a whole other level.
He brought them all together.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, he used to have me memorize books of the Bible. And I was like, Lord, I don't even preach nowhere, so I don't even know why you're doing this. This don't even make no sense. You got me memorizing a whole book of the Bible. And then he started putting all the books together, memorized the whole Old Testament, not every word, but what's in there. And did the same with the New Testament. I said, okay, Jesus, now we're through with it. What are we going to preach at? And then all of a sudden, Blog Talk Radio popped up.
We done preached Blog Talk Radio. We done wrote three or four books now?
Three books. Yeah, that's exactly. Exactly. I won't ask that question no more.
You have a recall of scripture that's phenomenal. Your recall of scripture reminds me of Reverend Barlow and his recall of people, names, and people he hadn't seen for years. He stared from that pulpit and looked and said, oh, is that Sister So-and-so or Brother So-and-so? Like, how do you do that?
I live off 14:26, John 14:26. That's my life right there. And he'll bring to your remembrance, and he does. I expect God to do what he say, especially if you got a mind like mine. You need help.
Well, if you depend on him and trust him to do it, he'll do it. But guess what? He can't do what you ain't put in.
Exactly, and that's the thing. I just
if
had a whole bunch of questions.
If you ain't put it in there in the first place, he ain't gonna bring it up.
You know, 'cause every time he come around, I start asking questions.
Yeah.
And then he start making me study so I get the answer to my question. And then he'll say, do you want me to answer your question? I'm like, well, Jesus, after all that studying you had me do, I saw the answer. He's like, oh, well, probably you should just study more, huh? So that's what
I
do. He have his ways. He got his ways of making it plain. Deaconess Rogers don't know how when she says, Pastor, will break it down for us. See, me and Jesus went through a thing, and that's my whole thing is make it plain, Lord, break it down, and then so he have her say that every week. He say, because I don't want you to forget. But anyway, she's saying religiously. I mean, like, Jesus, but anyway, it helps to remind me of what he said to me every time before I go up to preach, and It's just a blessing. It's a blessing. But thank you for that word. I mean, really, if the world needed to see God and the way it's looking today, we need to be the answer to the question, where is God's love today? Right there. Right there.
Yeah.
Over there. We need to be that answer. We need to be the answer to that question. When people ask that question, somehow, some way, we ought to be that light, to be that salt, like Deaconess Kathy was talking about, because somebody had mentioned salt. I think it was Pastor John Mack Paul. But anyway, she talked about being that salt and being that light, and that's what we're supposed to be, you know, to make things taste better, make it more palatable. And to people who sit in darkness see light. But if we keep being more afraid of what's going on than they are, and more tore up because the gas prices went up, and you know, than they are, then how can we demonstrate?
It won't be the last.
Oh no, we're in the midst of it now, and it'll be one thing after another till Jesus comes. So we might as well get used to disaster and turmoil, because that's the way it's going to be. That's what he said in the Olivet Discourse, so that's the way it's going to be. And what you were talking about from Timothy, I mean, Timothy gives us a description of what we're living in right now. And then you went down to the bottom, so you got me preaching again. You went down to the bottom, and you brought in the Word of God. And that fixes us for times just like these. Then we can do the Paul and Silas thing. We can sit in the Philippian jail, and amen. That was Lolo's class where she was talking about the light and the gas. Deaconess Kathy Clyburn just let me know that. Amen. So that was in Lolo's class. But anyway, brother preachers, give us some final words and then the closing prayer, and we can do Saturday.
No matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing, no matter what we hear on the news and the television and through media and everything else, God has promised first to never leave us nor forsake us. He's also promised the world gives. I give you peace that's beyond human understanding. And in the midst of that peace, I have something for you to go and do. Proclaim my word to others that they might hear the word and be saved. And even in the midst of going to the store and can't find what you want. Prices have went up on everything. Meat's at a price that they almost make me want to be a vegetarian. Gasoline is crazy. Everything is crazy. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then go show that love, that mercy, and that grace to other people that I've already shown to you. And if we do that, we'll be walking in his purpose and will.
Amen. Thank you, brother preacher. Everybody be blessed. Have a wonderful Saturday. Looking forward to Sunday when we get to once again collectively come together and corporately pray and praise and thank God. And hear a word.
Oh,